Yesterday we focused on the theme of joy. Today's liturgy, I think, can be summarized with another word, related of course, that is gratitude. Gratitude, particularly to God. I think of the beautiful theme that the bishops chose for this 500th anniversary of Christianity in the Philippines. Gifted to give. Gifted to give. It's a great summary of the Christian life. And it's a great expression of gratitude. We have received so much in response. Let us give so much. I think we see that in the readings. We also see it in today's saint, Saint Boniface. He was gifted and he gave, even to the point of laying down his life. So there's a lot to celebrate these days. Today's First Saturday, we honor Our Lady today. Tomorrow is the great feast of Corpus Christi. We celebrate the Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving, gratitude, comes from the Greek word for giving thanks. So it's also related to this theme, gratitude. And we're also preparing for the great feasts of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart next week. So big, big feast days. Tomorrow's feast, Corpus Christi, would normally be celebrated with a procession. The Feast of the Sacred Heart, maybe even more popular here, also with a big, a joyful procession in honor of the Sacred Heart. That won't happen this year because of the quarantine. But the church is looking for ways to still celebrate these feasts. We got a letter from the diocese a couple of days ago about how to honor the Eucharist tomorrow with some kind of Eucharistic adoration or a holy hour or something. There can't be a procession. It's against the law. But there can still be joyful thanksgiving to God for the gift of the Eucharist. So today's readings also have this sense of joyful gratitude. The first reading is our last selection from the book of Tobit, kind of a conclusion, the surprise ending, and the angel reveals who he is. And then in the gospel, we have this wonderful example of the widow who gives everything to the Lord. Now, this is perhaps a boring side point, but let me make it anyway. We're at the end of the ninth week, and anyone who follows the daily liturgy will experience a shift. At the end of the ninth week, we finish reading from the book of Gospel of Mark, and at the beginning of the 10th week, Monday, we will start reading from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from Matthew on the weekday Gospels up through, I think, the 21st week. And then when we get to the 22nd week, start reading Luke until the 34th week, the last week. So that's how the three synoptic Gospels are broken up, and we read them through the whole year. Of course, the parts of the Gospels that have to do with Jesus' infancy and childhood, those are reserved for Advent and Christmas. And then the parts of the Gospels that are about the Passion and the Resurrection, those are reserved for Lent and Easter. So in ordinary times, when we read the three Gospels about Jesus' public life, the fourth Gospel, John's Gospel, we read in the Easter season especially. Okay, so now part of the reason why that came to mind is what we heard in our reflections on the teaching of Pope Francis on Thursday. I don't know if anyone or everybody here might not remember it, but Pope Francis made the point that the gospel, especially at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, which we're going to hear on Monday, the gospel sparks a revolution. It's wherever the gospel is proclaimed and lived, there's a revolution. Not a revolution against the government, but an overturning of values, a complete change in priorities. In the Beatitudes, that's described. Blessed are the, not the rich, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are not the powerful, but the meek. So that's the big revolution that we reflected on a couple of days ago. And this is on display in today's readings, this revolution. In the reading from Tobit, again, this is the conclusion of this marvelous book, which I hope you get a chance to read. The revolution is that all the happy ending of the story is not just that Tobit got his money back and he got his sight back and he got his son back and he got his daughter-in-law. That's all great. But the real conclusion is give thanks to God. Praise the Lord for all his goodness. If you really want to honor or give thanks for all these good things, well, give thanks to God. And the one who teaches this lesson is Raphael the Archangel. Raphael has been journeying with Tobiah all this time through the whole book, but they didn't know, he didn't know, and nobody knew he was an angel. They thought he was a relative, a man. So Raphael hid his real identity in order to put himself at the service of Tobiah and Sarah and Tobit. And in this reading, he finally reveals who he is. And then he ascends to heaven. So he lets out the secret and then he disappears. This is how angels work. They're constantly at work. Angels are constantly at work doing the will of God and serving for our salvation, our eternal salvation. But we don't see them because they don't pay any attention to themselves or draw any attention to themselves. And if we ever notice them, then they disappear. They say, give glory to God. Give thanks to God. Now, we're spending a lot of time with Raphael these days because every day when we pray our oratio, we invoke Our Lady, Saint Joseph, and then Saint Raphael the Archangel, because he has this charism of healing. We heard it in yesterday's reading, the healing of Tobit's blindness. Well, we're not asking for a healing of blindness as much as an end of the pandemic, a healing of the COVID-19. So we continue to ask Saint Raphael the Archangel for this great gift, and he is doing his work. We just don't see it. See, we have to remember, angels almost always are invisible. Almost always. That doesn't mean they're not doing their work. It means that they're not attracting any attention to themselves, and they want us to give thanks and praise to God. So in this first reading, that's what Raphael does. They want to give him half the money. He went and helped Tobiah get the money of his father Tobit, a big treasure. They want to give half of it to Raphael. Raphael doesn't need any money. He's an angel. He says, money is nothing. You can give it away. Give praise to God. He even has some instructions about almsgiving. No? Almsgiving, a little bit. It is better to give alms than to store up gold. For almsgiving saves one from death and expiates every sin. So he's telling them, yeah, don't focus on the money. Don't think that the money is your salvation. Give. Gratitude is expressed with gifts. When we're grateful, we're generous. When we're ungrateful, we're what's that? Stingy. Yeah, when we're ungrateful, we're stingy. So that's the lesson of the great Archangel Raphael. Now, when we get to the Gospel, we have just an extraordinary example of gratitude in this poor widow. But before we get to the widow, we get the exact opposite attitude described in Jesus' condemnation of the scribes. So we have to see these two extremes. Scribes way over here, the poor widow way over here. The scribes, they might look holy, they might sound learned, and they know the law, and they know the scriptures, but they do it all for themselves. Their long robes and they're accepting places of honor, and they devour the houses of widows. So these are takers. These scribes, they represent the attitude of entitlement. I think that I deserve this, so I'm going to take it. That's a whole way of life. And a lot of people live this way. I deserve more, I deserve better. God should give this to me, so I'm going to take it. And more if I can get more. Kind of a typical attitude in the world. The poor widow, who apparently never takes anything because she doesn't have anything, here she has two small coins worth a few cents, maybe a few pesos, 2 pesos, or maybe 2 25-centavo coins, I don't know how much they are, but not much. And she puts both of them in the treasury. She donates both of them. She could have kept one for herself, one for the Lord. That would be giving away half of her money, just like Tobit was going to give half of his money to the angel. And the woman could have given half of her money, would have been one coin. She gives it all. She's completely abandoned. She has none of this sense of entitlement. She has all gratitude. Everything she has, she received. Everything she has, she will give, gifted to give. It's a very beautiful example, but also a very challenging one. Because who can dare to give everything to God? That's what we're all called to do, to give everything to God. It doesn't mean we have to put all our money into this collection box. That's not what it means. It means we have to give everything to God and trust our whole lives to God. Not just our money, but our whole lives. Our time, our gifts, our families, our future, our sufferings, everything. Why? Because He's given everything to us. Because we're grateful for the gift of God, the many gifts of God. The holiest people, the most impressive people in the spiritual life are those who give thanks to God for everything. Not just for what we think are blessings, like getting money or having a new job or whatever. But giving thanks to God for everything, including the trials. The saints give thanks to God even for their persecutions, trials. Why? Because everything comes from God, everything is in the hands of God, and they entrust themselves completely to God. It's a very joyful way to live, a very freeing way to live. It's the way the angels live. Angels are very happy. They don't keep anything. They don't do anything for themselves. They're very free because they're entirely given to God. This Raphael, he doesn't need anything. He has God. So he can put himself at the service of God. This poor widow, she seems to have nothing. That's not how she sees herself. She sees herself in the hands of God. She has everything she needs. It's radical. It's very challenging. She doesn't need any money. God will provide it. God has always provided. He always will provide. So I'm going to give everything I have to Him. Gifted to give. That's why I love that theme. Gifted to give. And gratitude to God opens our eyes to His more of His gifts, and it opens our hearts to give to others. When we see how much, and when we accept how much God has done for us, well, then we can see the need of others, and we're willing to put ourselves at the service of others. It's a very joyful, free, fulfilling way to live. It's also a very challenging, difficult way to live. So we need the help of the angels, we need the help of the saints. We ask Saint Boniface to intercede for us. We ask Saint Raphael the Archangel to intercede for us. And especially we ask our Blessed Mother Mary to teach us this way, to show us how to live in poverty of spirit. Show us how blessed are the poor in spirit, like this widow. How blessed she is, because the kingdom of God is hers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Well, ours is the kingdom of God if we have grateful, generous faith. faithful hearts.